Blog Talk Radio.
Firmly believe that once we come back to Yah, we
we have to do what it is that he says that he wants. You know, we look at it and say, oh, that's back then. It's still today. What happened back then, we're suffering the consequences of what happened back then today. And so in order to fix those things, we have to go back. One of the things that last pastor that I was under, and again, I always think, I thank y'all for sending me to him, for the time that he sent me to him. But one of the things that he taught us, even though they weren't 100% doing it, because I know he desired it, but moving Christians back into the law was a hard thing to do. And, you know, I heard him. So I know that where his heart was at. But getting it accomplished, you know, was another thing. But he always told us, once you got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, you had to go back into the law. Could not go back. You couldn't keep transgressing once Yah has chosen. And he understood as well. But, you know, when you're dealing with, quote, unquote, and I don't say this in a negative way, Christianity, in the way that it's taught, it's very hard to get people to move if they're hearing doctors that tell them that, oh, you are not up under the law. You're at liberty to do what it is that you want to do. Your salvation is strictly in your belief in Messiah. And so to tell people, oh, you got to go back and keep the law. You know, being, you know, I know out of fear for losing his congregation, he didn't fully enforce it. Nevertheless, I appreciate what I was taught through his ministry. You just have to take it, you know, to the intent that I know and he knew and understood that what Yah wants. Now, whether people will do that, you know, I can't make anybody do what they don't want to do. And people will see what they want to see. And, they, you know, I know that this book is written in such a way to reveal what's in your heart. That's the way it's written, to reveal what's in your heart. So if you don't want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, you'll find a way to read it that you don't have to. Nevertheless, I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. I have been up churning in the Word, in my sleep. I know that the road ahead is going to be rough. It's going to be, you know, a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of things that we need to deal with. Nevertheless, we must heal as a people, or else we cannot help anybody else heal. We just can't do it. If you are hurting and still suffering, still doing things out of those feelings, then it's hard to help someone else because what we may think is right may not be what's right. Might help our feelings, might help somebody else's feelings, but does it change their behavior? And that's what Yah's really looking for, a change of our behavior, a change of our attitude toward him, and holding ourselves accountable. So I know that the road ahead is going to be rough. It's going to be raw. But it has to be done. On today, this is about Yah. I told you that my understanding and the way that the Most High has shown me this is his day. It's all about him. Honor him in it. And, you know, we have six other days of the week to deal with our own problems, to deal with the things that we're going through. But the Most High Elohim said, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember what he did in the creation. Understand that we are, you know, this whole day is about remembering him and how he created the heavens and the earth and everything else that's in them. And to glorify him and lift him up. You know, and we have taken this day to make it a complaint session about our circumstances and what the world is doing to us. We got 6 other days of the week to do that and to deal with our issues. So this is the day that Yah has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us give honor to our Elohim, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the most high authority and power that there is in all of the universe, the known and the unknown, in and outside of this universe, in and outside of this creation, because Yah exists in and outside of his own creation. He entered into his creation. So there's a place we know as heaven that actually exists and is outside of his creation. It's not a part of his creation. It was part of a separate creation, to be firm with that. But he created this environment and this element and this universe for the creatures that he wanted in his creation. Where he existed prior to that, and the space that he occupied, is outside of this creation. Powerful entity even there. And so we want to honor him. We want to glorify him. That he would even take a hot second to even consider us. I mean, how much time do you take in your day to give consideration to a germ, to a virus, to something that means nothing to you, is so far beneath you, because that's where we're at with the Most High. But he would take the time to consider us. See, when we don't become puffed up as to who and what we are in relationship to him, because in relationship to other things, we are like a god. But in relationship to him, we're like that amoeba. We're like that piece of dirt. Said, I took you from the dirt. So the fact that he would even consider us, we ought to be thankful. The fact that, you know, he didn't say, you know what, take his hands and rub us out and say, you know, I'll just start over. I didn't like the way that one came out. I'll just start over. You know, do we consider? So that's what, like the verse was saying last night. The ox knows his owner. The ass is its master crib. But Israel does not consider who their master is, just how great he is. Mankind doesn't consider that. Mankind is trying to replace him. Nevertheless, before I get heated up, let's go to, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. We greet you no matter where you may be in the world, whether you're on the European continent, American continent, on the African continent. We greet you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Almighty. And we pray that you are taking the time and have the time to take to honor him, to give him glory, no matter where you are at, what your people are called, what you've been taught. Once you have heard about the Most High Elohim, then all other quote-unquote gods should be put aside, because we know that they are only the creation of men. And it would be false. Do they have some good doctrine? Some of them have some pretty good doctrine as far as how human beings should treat each other and things like that. Nevertheless, they deny the Most High Elohim. Man is not the answer for man. There's only one answer for man, and that is the Most High Elohim, the creator of the heavens and the earth, man's creator. He is the only answer for man. Anything else is confusion. It really is his confusion. So we pray that you are of a mind to worship the one and only true Elohim, all-powerful being of the universe, the one that said, set aside the seventh day and remember me perpetually throughout all generations. That one. That's who we want to honor every Shabbat. It is about him. And if we come and learn about his ways, if we come and learn about what he expects, if we come and learn about how to worship him, then we are honoring him in doing that. But when we come and we make it about us, then we dishonor him because the focus is on us at that point. So this is his day. He said that it's his Sabbath, that keep it holy unto him. This is what we want to endeavor to do always. All right. So ladies, cover your head. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandment, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us get a Most High hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Open your mouth to your Most High Elohim. Tell him how you love him. Tell him how you feel about him. Tell him how he has taken care of you and how he provides for you and how you will never, ever, ever forsake him or leave him. Hallelujah. Because you know who he is. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you with everything that is within our being. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Keep keeping us, Yah. Keep us safe. Let us do what it is that you have ordained us to do. Hallelujah. Now, bringing this word to the world by worshiping you and you alone. Hallelujah. And having genuine fear of you, Father. Genuine fear that we would not transgress. That we would not do that which is unpleasing to you. Intentionally do it, Father. Hallelujah. And when we find out what is wrong, Father, when we find out that we're doing something wrong, Father, that we repent of it and we put it away. Hallelujah. Because it is your will. You have said that you will be faithful, that you will forgive us for it. So, Father, we thank you now. We thank you for your understanding. We need to thank you for your strictness, Father, because we are treacherous. If you give us a way, we will find a way to do wrong. Help us to stay strong and to do right. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for caring about a sinner like me. Let us raise holy hands to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people will keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. In spirit and in truth. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them the unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work today in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work, that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen. And amen. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 46 today. And the they in this first scripture is Israel. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their father, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy prophet, or thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless to the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. What Yah wants. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. And we have sort of done this lesson in another, in a previous way, but I thought we should be, it should be reinforced. I actually want to put these, this particular lesson on the website, because this is something that every person, but especially a Hebrew Israelite, or let me say, those that claim that Yah has wakened them up and that they are wanting to do what the Most High wants, that he has put it on their heart. And we need to be reminded of these things. As I said, it should be before us all the time. Because, you know, we forget. We get caught up. We get caught up in the day-to-day. We get caught up in life. We come up under attack. And we need something to stand on. And if we keep these always before us, then we don't lose sight of what the true mission is. We don't lose sight of who it is that we're really serving. These are the things that he has said. These came directly from him. You know, when you want to know what somebody says, what they want, then you should go to the source. You know, if you're in a marriage, if you want to know what your spouse wants, you shouldn't guess. You should ask them. And if they expect you to guess, then they're going to expect to be unhappy most of the time, because most of the time, who? Which one of us can read minds? We can learn how somebody is. We can learn to anticipate. But to know exactly what somebody wants, what they say they want, and the Most High is not like us. He don't say one thing and mean another. He don't say one thing because he don't know what he wants. He knows exactly what he wants, and he has told us what he wants, and we want to reiterate that on this morning. It's his day. Let's go back over what he wants. So the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we are going to start with verse 12. And now, Israel, what does Yah, thy Elohim, require of thee? What does he want? Not only what does he want, but this word here, require, means this is not optional. This is required. It's not a suggestion. But he's telling us exactly, if you want to make me happy, this is what I require. This is not debatable. This is not open to debate. This is not open to discussion. This is not a matter of you saying, well, I want to do so much of this. Because of who we're talking to. You know, one of the things that we should have learned, and our forefathers probably knew this, but we probably lost it over the generations that we have been out of slavery, is that when the master said he wanted something or he required something, that's what he required. And for a slave, it was not optional. It was not open for debate. And somehow, I think the Most High put us in that position so that we would learn concerning him. If it's this way with a man, how much more so with the Most High? So when we go back and we read these, again, to reiterate, and I, as I said, I'm going to put this on the website because I've seen that it's just that important. It is the foundation. Now, not only did he want this for Israel, but eventually he wanted this for the world. Mankind, to be specific, all of mankind. But he started with Israel. Let me start here. That's why I say we have to understand truly what our importance is in the world. If we are doing what the Most High said to do, then we are important to this plan. Does the plan hinge on us? No. But the fact that we are doing or going to do what it is that he wants and requires is to show others. This is what the Most High wants. This is what he requires of any of those who say that they belong to him. See, saying that you belong to someone and then having no respect of what they want, that is just chaos. That is just wrong. It is totally 100% out of order. Even when we come into a marriage, if we come into a marriage and we don't consider what each other wants, then why are we together? Why would we ever enter into a union? Just to have babies? Is that all the marriage is about? Just to acquire wealth? Is that all the marriage is about? Yeah, we getting stuff. We getting money. We getting paid. But we got no relationship. I really don't know what you want. I guess it's this money. But what do you want from me? Now, if that's what you want from each other and that's what you've agreed upon, God bless you. The truth of the matter is, eventually, one or both of you will stray because your personal needs aren't being met, your emotional needs. Where do you go when, and who do you go to when things don't work out and your spouse don't care? I just want you to make that money. Whatever it is that they're focused on. But your individual needs and those things that you require, they could care less about. Haven't even bothered to learn. And maybe you haven't even told them. But the Most High has told us, this is what I require. So let's read this. Verse 12 again. And now, Israel, what does Yah, thy Elohim, require of thee? But to fear Yah, thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Pretty straightforward. Fear me. Love me. Walk in my way. See, this is one of the things that I don't believe men or women today understand about a marriage, because we have gotten this thing out of order. But when it comes to Elohim, he says, this is what I require. So let's read this first part again. Fear Yah. Fear me. To walk in all my ways. To love me. And to serve me with all your heart and with all your soul, with your mental capacity, with your physical capacity. Serve me. Keep the commandment. Keep my rules, my laws, and my statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. As I said before, when you read the Ten Commandments, if you cannot understand that this was a marriage covenant, you shall have no other man before me. You shall not bow down to any other man. You shall not have a picture of any other man. You shall not take my name in marriage in vain. It's a marriage contract. You ain't going to have nobody else before me. You're not going to give yourself to anybody else. You're going to belong solely to me. And then you're not going to take my name in vain, like for no reason, for just any reason, but to disrespect it. This is what that whole Ten Commandments was about. My other rules, honor your mother and your father, that your days might be long in the land. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. These are my rules for the marriage. But people didn't take them that way. And they started making up stuff concerning thou shalt not take my name in vain. Here he's telling us, obey my commandments. We're supposed to already be in relationship. I brought you out of Egypt, the furnace of iron, to be with me. Let's continue. Behold, verse 13, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens is Yah, thy Elohim, the earth also, with all that therein is. I own everything. I created everything. Whether it's in the heavens you can see, or whether it's in the heavens you can't see, whether it's in the earth, no matter whether it's microscopic and you've learned to see it with a microscope, or whether it is as big as an elephant or a giraffe or a whale. I made the stars, the moon, and the sun also. I made everything. This is who you're dealing with. Only Yah had a delight in thy fathers to love them. We have to hear what he's saying here. Because he said he chose us. We've read before on other occasions that the Most High Elohim was the Elohim of Egypt. He was the Elohim that created Egypt and made it great. But the relationship that he was looking for, he did not have with the Egyptian people. They never attained to that. They never rose to that. all the things that Yah did for them. They never attained what it was that he was looking for. I'm going to start over. And I'm going to get the people that nobody in the world loves. They aren't great. They aren't large. Heck, even Abraham's father was whittling idols. This is what I'm going to start over with, this one, because this one man said something's wrong. If that be a God, how can that be a God and you are carving it? There's something wrong here. And he asked a question. Is Elohim real? Does he really exist? And he must have asked it with such an earnest way that the real Elohim of creation heard him and answered. You're the one. I'm going to start over with you. And I'm going to create a nation that I want to be my inheritance. Out of all mankind, you're going to belong to me. You're going to be very special to me. And you're going to learn my way. You're going to learn how loving and kind I am. But you're also going to learn how terrible I can be. See, the world wants a one-sided Elohim, but the Elohim we serve is not one-sided. So Israel was supposed to learn the Most High. Israel was supposed to learn what makes him happy and what angers him. And teach the world. Because eventually, what the Most High wants, he's going to get. But he don't want to force it on everybody. He wants those people to learn to love him. You love someone, you truly love someone after you have learned their idiosyncrasy, their little bad habits, the little phrases that they may make, or the faces, or the look in their eyes. You learn to love them. You also learn to hate them. Because you can't really hate somebody you don't know. People who don't know you can't really hate you. But what do they hate about you? A racist is racist because they hate you simply for the color of your skin. And they have power over you. You know, if they didn't have power over you, it wouldn't matter if they were racist. Because that term racist means to not only hate you, but to have power to influence and affect your life. But Elohim says, this is what I want. And this is what I want of my people. And this is what I want of my creation. You see, a dog or a bird or any other thing that the piece of life that the Most High put in this planet doesn't have the choice to disobey the Most High. It ain't even within them. He took that out. But man, he didn't take it out of. Man is my inheritance. Israel. You are going to be specifically out of mankind, my inheritance. That which I take to myself, that I claim for myself, that is powerful. That is deep. If you consider who he is, why would he pick us? It's because you were lonely. You were unwanted by anyone else in the world. That was our beginning. This is now. I'm going to take you to me, and you're going to become somebody. truthfully, you're going to be the most important people in the world. But our forefathers couldn't see it. I mean, truthfully, I have to wonder if they really knew what we know today. And we got to take it. Hindsight is 2020. At least it should be. Sometimes I question that with a lot of people. But you should be able to take what's already happened and see and understand, especially when it's written for you, to see and understand and get a clear view, a clear picture of who, what, where, how, and why. And at least based upon what is written, make your determination from there. So we're reading what the Most High requires of us, what he wants of us, as his people. Let's continue. Only Yah had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. I am Yah, and I do not change. He didn't change his mind concerning us. He says, I already know all of y'all ain't going to make it. And that I might bring salvation to the rest of the world because of your disobedience and because all of y'all were not going to make it. I allow this also to bring salvation to the rest of the world. And all the rest of the world ain't going to make it. And at the end of everything, guess what? Israel's value is still the same to the Most High for those remnant that made it, the ones that got it, the ones who turned their hearts totally toward him. Keep saying with your whole heart, with your whole heart, with your whole heart. Those that got it, they get it. Valued above all the other peoples of the earth. Because Yah has chosen them, this is personally mine. Different. And if we can understand that, if we can truly understand that, because, you know, even that statement would even offend some of us, but Yah Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth, who are we to question him? Who are we to get offended as something that he says he wants? I created you for my pleasure. Now you upset because I want you, but I don't want them in this capacity. And he don't want us to be puffed up about it. He just wants us to understand it. He says, this is not about pride. This is about relationship. And this is the people that I want to be in relationship at this level. See, the world has always had its gods, and it worshiped them blindly, didn't know them, made them up. And if some of them were demonic and pretending to be gods, they would worship them with everything that they had. Still know that something was not quite right. But Yah Elohim says, anything that exists, I have created it, good and evil. I know them both, and I use them both for what I want. And if you want to make it all one-sided, make it all one way. But he says, hey, there's no turning of darkness in me. You can't understand me. So just be what it is that I want you to be. In the end, when I take the cover off of everything and you see me just as I am, you will understand. But right now, what I require is for you to Fear me. I'm telling you exactly what I want. Fear me. Love me. Fear me and love me. Do what I say to do. And I'm choosing you to teach this to the other nation. And how do you teach them? First, you got to first be doing it. You got to first be living it. And not just doing it blindly, because this is what our forefathers did. And this is why they failed, because they were doing it blindly. Y'all want you to know why you're doing these things. He says, yeah, I want you to do it out of faith, but I still want you to also study to show yourself approved and to be doing it because you understand. You understand who I am. For so many people, this is why I don't like to use this term God, because it's generic. That's why it says, and there be many gods. If you understand the definition, even by the scripture, of the term God. That's why it always puts an adjective, something that describes, or the name, that tells you exactly, the Almighty God. Then there's some gods that are not almighty. But he says the only true God is the Almighty One. But I've given some power and some authority to some other beings, to some other individuals. And they are not to be worshipped. Only worship me. And if I give you power and authority, and I make you a god as I made Moses a god to Pharaoh, don't get all puffed up in yourself and don't be looking for worship from other people, because your power and your authority came from me. And I say, don't anything, no one else worship anything else but me. That's why Moses got kept out of entering into the promised land. What did Most High accuse him of? You have taken my glory. You have taken my worship. And I don't share my worship with anyone or anything. So Moses knew this and still failed. We know it. We can read it in the scriptures now, even if he didn't tell us directly. We can read it in the scriptures. So we want to fear him. We want to love him for who he is, who and what he is. Without me, none of you and nothing would exist. I'm your creator. Right now, I mean, if you think about it, before you were born, you have any recollection of what you were doing before then? If you were even doing anything before then? Did you exist prior to you coming out of the womb? Prior to your conception? See, these are things that have plagued man from the beginning. God says, while you're here and while you're conscious, fear me. Learn of who I am and fear me. Then learn of who I am and love me. And learn of who I am and obey and do what I tell you to do. Live the way that I tell you to live. I'm not telling you to live this way to hurt you, to harm you. But if you don't live this way, it's going to hurt you and harm you. That's why I said, for your good. So we have to do what it is that he requires. It's not optional. Because anything short of this won't be acceptable. Now, I'm sure none of us is perfect, and he knows this. And what he's looking at, he says, I judge the intent of the heart. You know whether your intent is to give your all Because he says, I want your all every time. Everywhere we read, with your whole heart. You know whether your intent in your heart is to serve him with all of your heart, or whether you are reserving something somewhere. You think only you know. But Yah knows. And he says he's going to judge you by that. So if you're going to do this thing, you might as well commit to it 100%. This is what he requires. Fear me. Love me. Do what I say do. Learn what I say is right and wrong and do it. And then teach others. This is what Israel's job is, to teach others. But you can't teach somebody something if you're not doing it, if you don't know it. Let's continue reading. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. The foreskin is a membrane that protects. The Most High says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Stop hiding yourself from me. Stop trying to protect yourself from me. Extra membrane that in your heart separates you from me. Let me see who you really are, which I already know, but I want you to expose yourself. I want you to expose yourself to me. I judge the true intent of your heart. What were you really thinking when you did X? What was really in your mind? And even in your heart. Were you disobedient because you just didn't really believe there wouldn't be any consequences? Or did you believe there would be consequences, but you did it ignorantly? In your mind, in your heart, you were looking at it through this lens, and you saw it this way. Doesn't mean you were seeing it the correct way, and it doesn't make what you did right. But you weren't doing it intentionally to be disobedient. That wasn't in your heart. So he says, I'm the one that judges the intent of the heart. But we can't hide from him. We can't say, oh, you know, you can tell Brother Miles anything. Brother Miles cannot truthfully look into your heart to see what your intent is. He can say he believes what your intent would be, but truthfully what you were actually thinking, unless Yah reveals it, Brother Miles can't tell you, and nobody else in the world could tell you unless they had some type of familiar spirit or they were a true prophet or a prophetess that had been given that ability. Let's continue. For Yah, your Elohim, Elohim of Elohim, and master of masters, a great Elohim, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not person, nor taketh reward. You can't bribe Elohim. He's not a respecter of person. You can't go buy his favor. He said his favor is earned through your obedience. So what you going to offer me? What you going to bribe me with? There's nothing that you can give me that I need. And that the difference between need and want are two different things. What you want and what you need are not the same thing. They can sometimes be the same things, but they most of the time are different. What you want, that's something you desire. What you need is something you have to have, you require. We need air to live. We don't want air. We need it. It's a requirement. We might want a Danish, or we might want some broccoli, or we might want a piece of lamb, or we might want that man or that woman. But those are wants and not needs, because you were living before you had those things. Now, we need food to a certain level, but the type of food becomes a want. So the Most High doesn't need anything from us. Before we existed, he existed without us. So we can never be of the mind that the Most High needs us. But he may want us. That's different. So if I don't need anything that you have, what can you bribe me with? You can't bribe me. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many houses you have. I don't care how many sheep you have. I don't care how many goats you have. I don't care about any of that stuff, because I don't need it. I created it. But what I want from you, what I require from you, that's another thing. So you can't bribe me to get my favor. Nobody can come to me and say I owe them anything. So when I extend the scepter to you, the scepter of grace, the scepter of acceptance, it's not because it's been required of me or that I need it. Let's continue. Let's talk about this word and terrible. See, people always want to hear about the kind and loving God, the gracious God, the merciful God. They don't ever want to hear about the terrible God. Oh, no, that's not the God we want to hear about. But if you don't do what he say, if you don't learn of his ways, if you don't become what it is that he says that he wants, that's the one you're going to meet. The terrible God, the one you're going to meet, not the loving and the kind one. And that's what's such ironic about this. People speak about the Most High, Elohim, all the time, and how they want to please him and how they want to serve him, but they never really consider and really look at their own lives and say, is this pleasing to him? Is my life pleasing to him? Because if it's not, I'm not going to meet the one that I want to meet. That's not who I'm going to see. I'm going to see him in his wrath. I'm going to meet the terrible Elohim. He makes sure he tells us all over this book. So if we choose, in and of ourselves, if we choose to ignore that, if we choose, as I like to say, playing for a sucker, you know, he's got to forgive me. No, he don't. He's got to accept me. No, he don't. He's got to love me. No, he don't. He don't have to do any of that stuff. He don't have to do it. You can't put that on him. You got to meet his requirements. See, we're trying to deal as though we have power to deal with him. He says, you got no power to deal with me. I don't owe you anything, and I don't need anything from you. What I want and what I require, don't get those confused with what I need, because I don't need anything. I am self-sufficient. Whatever I want or need, if I should need anything, I'll just speak it, and it will be. Learn about me. Find out what I like and what I don't like. Find out what makes me happy and what makes me angry. And then do it on both accounts, or don't do it on both accounts. Find out what I like and do it. Find out what makes me angry and don't do it. And love me at the same time, because I'm telling you, this is what's required. If you don't have a fear of me, then you're going to break some statute, some law, or some commandment. And if you don't love me, you're going to break some type of statute, some type of law, some type of commandment. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So learn about me. Know that I am gentle and kind and gracious, but I'm also terrible. To the point that those things that are unpleasing to me, I'm going to destroy. You know, if you could imagine yourself being this piece of equipment that comes off the assembly line, and they only want to keep those pieces that are perfect. Or those pieces that are so perfect you can't tell where the imperfection is in them. And everything else gets melted down. Yah Elohim is telling us what he requires for us to not get melted down. Fear me, love me, do what I say do. Always have reverence for me. Don't never treat me as common, as though you have the right to treat me as common. When did you elevate yourself? When did I elevate you to the point that, even like my servant Moses, that I speak to you mouth to mouth? Don't get it twisted. I am the creator of the universe. And I'm telling you what I want, and I'm not a respecter of persons. If I bless you beyond measure, if I blessed you with everything on this planet, you couldn't bribe me with it. I gave it to you. I can take it from you. Matter of fact, just let me put a time limit on your life, and then you can't take it with you. All mine. Understand who it is that you're dealing with. Learn to love me. Learn to fear me. Learn why you fear me. Learn why you love me. Understand me in relationship to everything else in the creation. Everything else in this creation, seen or unseen, bows to me. What an awesome Elohim. It's unimaginable, unfathomable. In the terms that we can understand, he gives it to us. There is nothing greater than me. I am the Almighty. There can't be two of us. There can't be three of us that are almighty. Everything with might, one of us has to be almighty. We can't all be almighty, or two of us, not a shared throne. When we have sporting events, we can't be two champions. Now, we can have a team championship, but it's still considered one. The Almighty says, I am one, and I'm the Almighty. I'm the only one. There's nothing you can appeal to above me. No one you can appeal to above me. When it reaches me, the buck stops here. So when you appeal to me, my verdict is final. That's why if we understand who it is that we serve, it doesn't matter what a man or a king says. It doesn't matter what the government says. We can take our case to the Most High Elohim, and if it's his desire to intervene, they will do what he wants done concerning you and not even know that they're doing it. Because he spoke it. That's why he says to fear him. You don't really understand who you're dealing with, but learn about me. The things that I show you, walk in them. I don't know everything, but this I know, because this is what I witnessed with my own eyes. Let's continue. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger to give him food and raiment. This is what's important to him. Fear me, love me, keep my commandments. Treat the fatherless righteously. If they're in this world and they don't have a father, take them in. Care for them. Provide for them. Raise them. If she's a widow and her husband has died and she has spent her life serving me, then you are obligated to take care of her. Provide a place for her. Provide raiment for her. Provide clothing for her. And you don't have to be married to her and don't be trying to sleep with her. That is the Most High's desire. I told you he values, he doesn't say if a man is a widow, do this for him. So I try to tell you he values the woman more than the women want to even acknowledge. If she's a widow indeed, and he gives us what those definitions are, then he says then, I want her taken care of because all her life she looked to serve me. She even served me through her husband. And now he's gone and she's alone in the world. I expect for my saints to take care of her. Don't let her be around here walking on the streets, begging for crumbs, having to consider doing the unthinkable, having to do things that never would have entered into her mind. He's really saying to treat her as being holy. Much value he places on you, the woman of the Most High. If you have lived your life dedicated to him, and you got nobody left to take care of you, you don't have any children, no siblings, no family, really. But we know how that can go sometimes. but you don't have any siblings or children of your own to take care of you. Because Most High says, if we have children, it is the obligation of the children to take care of their elderly parents or their widowed mothers. But if that don't exist, or if they won't do it, then we should have compassion. So he places a high value on you. Now, if a man finds himself in that situation, he can be in the wilderness. He can be eating wild locusts and honey. He can be having birds to drop off meals to him. The Most High doesn't command society to take care of him. But he commands society to take care of that holy woman that dedicated her life to him, and now she finds herself alone in the world. I hope we can hear this. Love you, therefore, the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You know, when you are someplace and you don't know anybody, you don't know the ways of the people, you don't know the ways of the land, you don't even know the language. It's rough. Try going to a foreign nation that don't speak English. And you can imagine if somebody didn't have compassion on you, you try to ask a question, people just ignore you. They're like New Yorkers. Just walk by you. You say, hi, excuse me, and they just keep walking. No compassion. Mind on only themselves. And you're just trying to find a way to how to get from point A to point B, and nobody will help you. Nobody will talk to you. And while you're trying to get direction, somebody runs by and snatches your purse. And all your money, your identification, and everything is in that purse. Or somebody lifts your wallet. And all your ID and money was in that wallet. And you can't get transportation to any place. And nobody will help you. Matter of fact, they're looking at you like that's not all the harm that they want to do. You don't belong here. You're a stranger. The Most High says, don't be that way. You were a stranger in a land. I took you into a land as a stranger. And I brought you up as strangers in that land till it was time to bring you out. And because you have experienced that, then I want you to be compassionate towards strangers. Not a suggestion. Thou shalt fear Yah thy Elohim. Once again, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave or hold to, and swear by his name. Now, this is something that why you don't hear me liking to say the word God or Lord. Because he says we're to swear by his name. In order to swear by his name, you must know his name. Whether it's revealed to you as Jesus or whether it's Yah or Yahuwah, Yahuwah, really makes no difference to me. But his name. This is what they took from us when they replaced his name with Lord. It's a title. It's not his name. It's like me calling you Mrs. or mistress or master. Not your actual name. Might be the position you're holding. Might be a title that you took or was given to you, but it's not your name. And Yah wants us to address him and call on his name so that you're not calling on anything else or anybody else. So we should take the time, in as much as he will allow us to find out what his name is. I want you to call me by my name. I want you to call on my name. This is, he says he requires this. So when the translators got together and whoever they consulted, and they said, hey, his name is too holy to say. We don't say his name. They probably didn't know his name. We don't say his name. But he himself, throughout all the scriptures, has told us over and over and over again, I want you to call on me by my name. We have to have enough interest to say, what is your name? That's what Moses said. What should I tell the people when they tell me and they ask me who has sent me and what am I going to tell them? But see, if you read those verses, Moses was told his name. And even in the Hebrew, in the I am that I am, that I am, is the Most High's name when you look at it. Hayah, Bashem Hayah. Hayah. His name is revealed. Call me by my name. What does my name mean? I am self-existent. But my name is Yah. Hayah. Hayah. The self-existent one. He which is and which was and which is to come. The first and the last. Titles. Descriptions of who he is. Because this is what I require. I require you to call on my name. I want to know who you're calling to. So if his name translated in the Greek to Iosis or Jesus, I don't have a problem. I just personally preferred if you had a Hebrew name and that's who you introduce yourself to and said that this is the people that are going to be special to you, what is the name that you gave them to call you? I had to ask him to reveal it to me. So I prefer the name Yah as revealed to me in my searching out the Most High Elohim. If you say Jesus and you're comfortable with it, I am not telling you don't use that name. I called him by that name all my life until I just wanted to know, what is your Hebrew name? What's the name that you gave to our father? What is the name that you told them to call upon? So, you know, I hope nobody gets offended. Because it's not intended to offend. But a lot of people do get offended when they hear that name. Why? I don't know. But they do. But he says, we just read it. I want you to call on my name, not on my title. My title is Father. My title is Creator. My title is Redeemer. My title is Savior. My title is the Holy One of Israel. My title is the King of Israel. But what is my name? And people want to call on the title. And people want to call on the, this is not even a, Lord is not even a translation of his name. It's a replacement for his name. And it's a title. Call on my name. So you have to be satisfied with the one that you have, and there's nothing wrong with that. Then you can say, simply as I did, I want to know the name that my forefathers called you. I wanted you to reveal it to me. Because right now I'm seeing this and that and the other, and I'm not sure. And this is the revealed name he gave to me. So you hear me with it unapologetically using it. Just like it wasn't a man that told me that I was a Hebrew Israelite. It was my prayer to the Most High that told me who we are. Therefore, nobody could ever convince me otherwise. I don't care what the genealogy says. I don't care what they try to make the gene say. I don't care what they try to make the blood say. I don't care what they try to write in history. It is the Spirit of the Most High that revealed to me who we are as a people. Because I ask, who are we? What did we do that the world should esteem us the way that it does, that it doesn't care anything about us, no matter how much money we get, no matter how much power we get, no matter how much education we get? The world still sees us the same way. What did we do? Something's wrong here. And it has to be, has to do something with the divine. It has to. It's just, that was my train of thought, and that's what I went to the prayer, in prayer with, to the Most High. Because I wanted to know. And he revealed it. So no man could tell me otherwise. Didn't come from a man. I'm not living this because a man told me. I'm not convicted because a man told me. Even though he did send a man to me to explain, but it was Yah himself that told me who we are. He still answers us. I wanted to know his name. He answers us still today because he says through this book, call me by my name. Call on my name. How can I do that if I don't know your name? How can I complete the, how can I obey if I don't know? And so I prayed to him, reveal your name to me. And so he showed me and convinced me. He has to do the same for each and every one of us because we're commanded to call on his name. This is required. Remember, we're reading things that are required. It's not optional. Let's continue. It's what he wants. Verse 20 again. Thou shalt fear Yah, thy Elohim. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave or hold on to, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy Elohim, that he that has done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. So let me ask a question. Do we think about the Most High as being terrible when he caused 120-pound blocks of ice to fall from the sky on people? Do we think about that the Most High is terrible when he gave all the Philistines a terrible case of hemorrhoids? I mean, butt just hanging out. Can't sit down, in pain. I don't even know if they had anything like Preparation H back then. Do you think of him as being terrible? Do you think of him as being terrible when he put boils on people? If you ever seen somebody with boils, especially festering boils, where they're just big knots, full of pus, painful to them, not anything comfortable at all. Do you ever think of him as being terrible when he turned all the water in Egypt to blood? You can't drink blood. It don't satisfy your thirst. The cattle can't drink the blood. The plant can't drink the blood. Do we think about him as being terrible? Do we think about him as being terrible when he killed all the firstborn? Think about that. Wherever you're at, you wake up in the morning, your firstborn child is dead. You call your sister, her firstborn child is dead, or she's dead because she was firstborn. You call your friends. Everybody got somebody dead in their family, in their house, at the same time. Do we think of him as being terrible? Do you think of those as being terrible acts? Because he says those were terrible acts. Do you think when he throws the vast majority of mankind into the lake that there's going to be a terrible act? He says it's going to be terrible. Do we consider that? We want this. I'm good. Yah will protect me. He will save me. He will have mercy on me while I continue to do my mess. While I don't meet his standards, he's going to take care of me. He says, you're going to see that terrible side of me. I told you don't do this or that, and you did it anyway, and you knew not to do it, and you still did it. Now you're going to see the terrible side of me. So when I tell them to bring you over here and cut you in half, I don't want to hear no complaints. Because see, the scripture says he's going to do that. I'm going to have you brought in front of me and have you killed. Because what's the word he uses there? You knew that I was a rough man. The translation of the word, because the word for right now is escaping me. You knew I was a rough man. Austere is the word that it uses. You knew this about me, or you were supposed to know this about me. But if the people ain't teaching you that Messiah, the Most High Elohim in flesh, he's going to be an austere man. He's going to be a rough man, and he ain't playing when he come back. You're going to see the terrible side of him. So the things that he's telling us, he's saying, this is what I require. This is what I want. What I want from you. It's not what I need, because you can't give me nothing that I need if I should need anything. This is what I want from you. Don't get the two twisted. I don't need you. I created you. I don't need you to exist. I don't need you to make me Elohim. I don't even need you to obey me. I want you to obey me. Because if you don't obey me, what is it to me? Your end is going to be the same. So this is what I want. This is what I, as the book says, require. That means it's not optional for you and I. Once he uses that definite article, require, then it no longer becomes an option. No longer becomes about what you think you want to do or what you think you want to give. He tells us don't add to or take away from. This is what I require. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Because typically you're going to mess it up. I'm telling you exactly what I require. So you might hear about somebody that did something and it sounds great. It sounds like the right thing to do. And you come do it to me. And when I find you out of order, You're going to think I'm wrong. Like Nadab and Abihu. I told them exactly when to burn incense, but they're going to do it when they thought it was right. And so all the people in Israel, right before them, in front of them, so that they don't make the same mistake, I burnt them up right in front of them. That was a terrible thing. See, people don't want to see that side of the Most High. I burnt them up right there because they did not do exactly what I told them to do, when I told them to do it, and how I told them to do it. We want to meet that kind and gentle and merciful Elohim. But if you don't do what he says to do, if you don't do what he says is required, you're going to meet the terrible one. That's the truth of the matter. I want you to call on my name. I want you to swear on my name. Because if you use my name and you take an oath by it, surely you're going to fear me enough to, what, complete that oath? You will have enough fear of me, enough respect of me, enough love of me for who I am, that if you swear using my name, you make a promise using my name, that you won't break that promise. That's why I tell those people who are suffering with some addiction, because the truth of the matter is you have to want to stop. And if you find yourself in a position where you can't stop, whether it's drinking, whether it's smoking, whether it's doing drugs, whether it's sexual addiction, whatever it is, if you fear Yah, make a promise to him. Swear on his name. Make a promise to him. And if you fear him, trust me, that fear will keep you and stop you from doing that thing if you truly fear him. You won't even make it. You won't even come into your mind to make an excuse. But when we are not committed, when we want to give ourselves the excuse, you're not going to swear on his name. Because I need a way out. I need to, you know, I got to have an excuse. If I do this, if I fall, that tells me and it tells the Most High that you were never really committed to doing it anyway. Coming across your mind, but you, it's not really in you that you want to stop that. But if you really want to stop, then swear on the name of the Most High, you won't do it anymore. Tell you, it changes things. I didn't love my, I wanted to quit smoking. Couldn't do it. Buy a pack of cigarettes. Smoke one out, half of it out of it, ball up the pack because I'm supposed to be quitting. Supposed to be stopping this. And that was, this didn't go on for a little bit of time. This went on for some years. Didn't like smoking, but couldn't stop smoking. Then I told the Most High, if you let me go 3 days, I will never touch another cigarette in my life. And he let me go 3 days. From that point on, didn't touch another cigarette. Now, if it had just been for me, if I had made that promise, I would probably either still be smoking or be dead from smoking. It's a swear by his name. But you don't want to swear by his name if you don't really have a true fear of him. Won't fare well for you. Let's continue. Things that he requires, what he wants. He requires you that he be his, that he is your praise. He requires you that he is your Elohim, that he is your God. He is the most important thing. He tells us there can be nothing more important to us than him. Not wife, not children, not job, not anything more important to us than him. If you love anything more than you love me, if you will put anything before me, you are not worthy of me. I mean, that's just straight to the point. And those are not the words of Brother Miles' translation or interjection into the scripture or interpretation of the word. In the English, what we're reading, we don't have to go to the Greek or the Hebrew. If you love anything, anyone more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. If you put another God before me, I am not your Elohim. And you have become my adversary. In other words, you have made yourself against me. These are the things that I require, that I want from you. But they're not just a want, they are a requirement, because he changes he uses the word required in the scripture, and that's the way it's written. So that's the way we have to take it. Required, not optional. Do you want to meet me on peaceful grounds? This is what I require. And if you don't do it with your whole heart, you're not meeting the requirements. See, so we, over time, have gotten this thing twisted. And we don't really truly believe what we read. And then it comes down to, what am I willing to do? That's why I say this word, especially the New Testament, is written to show, to reveal what's in your heart. I'm giving you the key. Now, you can either take the key and use it and unlock the scripture to help you make it into the kingdom. You can put the key in your pocket. You can throw it away. You can put it behind you. It's up to you. But I'm telling you that the scriptures are written, especially in the New Testament, to reveal what's in your heart. If it's in your heart to not want to keep the law, you will read the scriptures in a way that you don't have to keep the law. Even though the Most High has told you from the beginning, choose life or choose death. These things give you life. These things bring you death. Now, let me give you the liberty to choose. And let me see what's in your heart to choose. So let me have it written, the contract written in such a way that it reveals what's in your heart. Because you're going to read these scriptures and interpret them by what's in your heart. If it's not really in your heart to obey me, to do those things that are pleasing to me, to do those things that I require of you, I'm going to let the scriptures tell you by the way that they are written. That's exactly what you can do. And you will believe it. It is written. Because I'm showing you what's in your heart. I don't want to stop sinning. I want to keep fornicating. I want to keep doing these things to my body. I'm not under the law. I'm at liberty. All I got to do is say I'm sorry, because I found some verses that said that. But that's what's in your heart. So he wants us to do what he says to do. And remember that, learn that, stick to that. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, Now Yahweh Elohim has made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. We read that, and I have expounded upon it. But these are the things that we should put before us. And as I said, I'm going to put these on the website because they really should be there for all to read. And if you have access to the internet, then you should be either write these things down or go look at them. Whenever you feel yourself getting weak, whenever you feel yourself in need, you need a reminder of this is how and who I should be. And give me a moment here. Let's play a song before we get into this and put these things within our hearts.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it with it. In emotion.
Amen, amen, amen. Let us review the things that Yah requires of us. This wasn't just to the nation of Israel, but it's to his body as a whole. Remember, Israel was supposed to be the first. But this applies to all of mankind. We, as his self-proclaimed, and I'm saying self-proclaimed, people, have to do what's required. How are you going to take on Elohim, claim that he's your Elohim, and that you are his people, and not do what's required? It's not optional. But we want to bring those things back up to our attention, that we don't lose focus, that we don't get caught up in the day-to-day, that we bring our barometer back to, and our compass back to pointing toward the Most High Elohim always. It's not about us. It is, but it's not. It's about what he requires of us. So let's review this real quick. Fear Yah. Learn all the ways of Yah and walk in them. Remember, these are requirements. To fear Yah, learn all the ways of Yah and walk in them. Love Yah. Serve Yah with all your heart and with all your soul. Not part of you, not 90%, not 70%, not 99%. Can't nothing be greater in your life than him. Can't nothing be more important than him. Keep the commandments and statutes of Yah. Required. Hold on to Yah. No matter what you're going through, don't ever get up the opinion that Yah has forsaken you, even when you think you're not getting the answer. Now, when you know that you have been walking not in accordance, then what you may be receiving is either discipline, punishment, and those two are different. Still cleave to him, because no matter what, your best bet is to always hold on to Yah, no matter what. Even if you think Yah has left you, you're thinking that he has forsaken you, your best bet is to still hold on to Yah. Perhaps he might repent of the evil that he has spoken towards you and will repent of it, call it back. So no matter what, hold on to Yah. Because when we go the other way, we know for sure what the end of that is. Perhaps Yah will change his verdict concerning you. Recognize that all the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them belongs to Yah. It's a requirement that you recognize that, that you know that. Open your heart to Yah. How did he say it? Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Open your heart to Yah. And stop resisting Yah. You know what he says is right and wrong. You know what is right and wrong within your life. You know what he requires of you. To do otherwise is to resist. To be disobedient is to resist. So open your heart to Yah and stop resisting him. Because the things that he has for you are for your what? Good. For our good. So the things that he's telling us to do are not to harm us. What else is required? Love the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger. This is a requirement from Yah. Swear by the name of Yah. In order to swear by his name, you must be convinced of what his name is. Lord is not a name. Master is not a name. Mister is not a name. God is not a name. Savior is not a name. Redeemer is not a name. My salvation is not a name. Swear by his name. The scriptures tell us in all that we do, do it in his name. Use the name that you're convicted of. I don't say you have to use Yah. If you're not convicted of that name, don't use it. But whatever name you are convicted of, use that name, 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 not title. You are in direct violation and not doing what's required if you are calling on a title. Because titles, many people can hold them. Many individuals, many principalities. What name are you going to swear by? What name are you going to call on? We are commanded to use his name. Praise Yah for doing all the great and terrible things for our forefathers, which their eyes saw. And then praise Yah for all the great and terrible things he's going to do for us, which our eyes shall see. Be ye holy, for Yah is holy. Things Yah requires us to know this, because this should speak to you in your heart concerning who you are as a people. And even though we have been cast out, those of us who overcome can believe these things if we know them and walk in them, because Yah does not repent. He's not a man that he should repent in the ways that we think. He says, I made a promise. I don't go back on my word. If I have to fulfill it through your offspring, that's what I'll do. If you mess up, but I made a promise to your grandfather that someone from his seed will make it in, well, you messed up, it won't be you, but maybe it'll be your child or your grandchild. Only Yah had the light in our forefathers. When he selected Abraham and promised him that he would make a people out of him, Abraham was not mighty. He was not loved by the world. Wasn't even loved by his own family. And loved us as is this day, even above all other peoples. This is not something for us to become puffed up with. Yah said, I chose you to be my inheritance. My inheritance to belong strictly to me. He requires us to know this. When you know that, I think the problem is when people start to know that, claim to know that, they become puffed up in their mind. We the people of the book. We Yah's people. All the while we're being disobedient, while we're running around fornicating, committing adultery, getting high, getting drunk. He's my Elohim. He says, That's not what I told you to do. Not what I require of you. So don't be doing those things and at the same time trying to claim that you're mine. Because I clearly don't have your whole heart. Our Elohim is powerful. He is the power and the authority above all other powers and authorities. We got to know that. There is nobody and nothing that you can appeal to above the Most High. Recognize him for who he is and what he is. Yah, our Elohim, he requires us to know, is the highest and greatest power and authority. Yah, our Elohim, does not consider a person or position in life, or a person's position in life, and is not a respecter of person. Don't matter where you come from. Don't matter what level your life, what type of life, if you're rich or poor. If you fear him and keep his commandments, that's what he's looking for. You can't have all this money and say, oh, well, I just buy my way into the kingdom. You can't be powerful, and let's say you don't love money, but you have power over men. You can't use that to influence Yah. Because I'm not a respecter of person. Yo, you have all that power over men, and men listen to you, but look at what you're doing. I'm going to strike you down. Then who are they going to listen to? When I throw you in the lake, how much will your power be doing you? Because I'm not a respecter of persons. You can't bribe me. Yah, our Elohim cannot be bribed. Yah, our Elohim, we have to know, watches over the fatherless and the widows and the strangers in giving them food and clothing. He wants us to do the same. Yah, our Elohim, wants us to know our forefathers went into Egypt 70 strong. He wants us to know that our family right now is as the stars of heaven. Yah, our Elohim, wants us to know that he is terrible, that he will do terrible things to those people who do not listen to him. He don't want us to forget that. Yah, our Elohim, wants us to go back and pick up the promise, especially those of us who are flesh and blood Israel, that Yah has awakened, to go back and pick up the promise that our forefathers made to him. What was that promise? All that Yah has said, we will do. We have read what Yah requires of us. And again, Yah is looking for those that will do all that he has said. This is what he wants. This is what he requires. Let us not ever forget that. Let us put that at the forefront. This is what it's all about, wrapped up in a nutshell. The Most High gave us his requirement. And all the people said, all that Yah has said, all that Yah requires, we will do. This is the bottom line of what happened. The promise. Hold on, let me pull up something. Let's read this. So we understand, and we put it in context, but we want to put this before us always. Hold on a second. Let me look up something. I don't know if I want to get this from Jeremiah or where I want to get this from, Hebrews. Okay, let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 8, and then we'll call it quits for today, for this morning at least. The book of Hebrews chapter 8. And let's just get verse 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah, and I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. So not according to the covenant that our forefathers broke, but according to the covenant that he gave us from the beginning. He says, now that same covenant, I'm going to write it in your heart and in your mind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we see the requirements that you have placed upon your people. We just want to live them and follow them. We want to do that which is pleasing to you. We want to do that which is pleasing to you. We want to meet your requirements. We understand that they are not optional. This is what you have commanded. And all that you have said, we will do. We want to go back and pick up the old covenant with it written in our heart and keep life as you have given it to us and not choose death. We thank you for the gift of Messiah. We thank you for making a way for us where there was not a way, for us to even pick up that old covenant. So, Father, we acknowledge and we understand the things that you require of us, and we will set them before us as reminders in all that Yah has said, we will do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray, amen and amen. We will meet on this evening. Again, I don't know whatever the Most High gives me, that's what will be the topic. I will try to put it out there. But we want to remember that Yah loves us, that he wants us to call on his name. So remember, family, Brother Miles loves you, but Yah loves you more. Call on his name. Ask him for what you will concerning the kingdom, concerning the family, concerning your own finance, whatever it is. Ask him to intervene on your behalf, because you're going to use it to his glory and to his kingdom. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appointed time, shalom.
Will rain. jump. Lift my head up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never